Fit Workshop Saturday, March 16th at 12 p.m. Sign up at aarp.org/yourhome.
Hello, America. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you don't have Consumer Cellular yet, now is the perfect time to switch and save. For a limited time, new customers can get wireless service for as low as $15 a month for your first year. Yep, the same exact nationwide coverage as the leading carriers for $15 a month for an entire year. What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com and use code RADIO15.
See ConsumerCellular.com/FirstYear15 for promotional details.
You've heard it said, he's a diamond in the rough. Or maybe, diamonds are forever. Here's something else I've learned about diamonds. They're just pieces of coal put under pressure for a long, long, long time. So when I start feeling like I want to give up, I think about that little piece of coal. And if that piece of coal can make something of itself by not giving up, so can I. Persistence is in you. Pass it on. From PassItOn.com.
There's breaking news all day long from around the world. And sometimes all that noise makes it hard to hear about what's happening right here at home. With the free Odyssey app, getting your local news plus breaking news is easy. And even when you're not near a radio, stay connected with what's going on right here by listening live and push alerts. Just download the free Odyssey app and search and follow your local news station and you're good to go. The local breaking news to get you through your day at your fingertips on the free Odyssey app. That's AUDACY.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
My predecessor failed the most basic presidential duty that he owes to American people, the duty to care.
You know, it's so ridiculous that any Democrat will sit here and talk about mental health, isolation, and loneliness of the pandemic. Red states had far more freedoms, far less restrictions placed on them. Thank God I wasn't living in Philadelphia from 2020 through 2022, because I wouldn't have been able to deal with some of these ridiculous measures.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
This program is paid for by Investor Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investor Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. This is Investor Schooling Live with your host, Larry Steinhaus, CEO of Investor Schooling.
All right, everybody. Good morning and welcome to Investor Schooling Live. Hey, Investor Schooling Live is transmitting from the Investor Schooling Studios right here in the Investor Schooling headquarters. I'm Larry Steinhaus. I am the CEO of Investor Schooling, and I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Deborah Anderson, and Armi Murad. Yes. I decided to actually give you kudos as a co-host, okay? Thanks for listening to everybody, and get ready to learn real estate investing, stock options trading, and so many more things about money I bet you didn't know. And you can even call us anytime during the show with your questions at
855-939-1137. Debbie interrupts, so one more time. 855-939-1137.
Oh, one more time.
It's 855-939-1137.
Listen, Debbie just keeps laughing. You have to give the phone number again.
I know, I have to. But
you know, I have to.
We should wait.
You know why it's funny? Because he's like cradling the mic.
I know, you have to say it.
He's cradling the mic to be able to say the number.
It's 855-939-1137.
Like practically kissing it now.
It's definitely
it's
so I'm not, but I'm completely okay with it. Okay? Just to make it very clear, it's just a microphone. I'm not. Go.
You're not gay.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you talk gay a lot though.
I know.
But it's okay. I mean, it's okay with me.
Yeah, but I'm not a judge.
I'm fine with that.
So it's okay.
That was funny with the judge the other day. So we went to see Judge Levine the other day.
How did you check her?
Yeah, so we actually were in the neighborhood and we called him up and said, "Hey, you want to have lunch?" And he was telling a story when he was on the radio. So you guys don't remember, we have Judge Levine, who's the judge in it's Lansdale, but it's
yeah,
Montgomery.
North
he's
Wales?
A Montgomery County judge.
Yeah,
and he's become a really good friend of the show, a really good friend of ours. And you know, he told us about how he shares a dog with his neighbor, and his neighbor's a guy. So we make fun of him. We call him gay. And he just knows, he loves to turn that around on me. He goes, yeah, you're only saying that because you're gay. You know, so it's really, really funny. So, you know, I don't know if he's listening, but
he's really funny. He's one of the best person ever.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. And I'll tell you what, very fair judge, too.
Yes.
And we met him in a case, which is kind of interesting, too. It was actually an eviction where I was evicting somebody, and that's how I met him. But the other guy didn't show up, so the judge and I started talking. Anyway, getting back to that, what else does Investor Schooling Live do? What do? We talk about real estate. We talk about the stock market. We talk about things that are going on. We even talk about politics sometimes, and sometimes we even talk about Omri's Tesla.
Sometimes.
Because Tesla is the greatest car ever.
Yes.
If you want to waste a lot of money.
Sometimes, yeah. But it also saves you money.
Okay.
Yeah. It depends how you look at it, yeah.
Well, the only reason your car is any good at all right now is because it has the free supercharging.
Yeah, the free supercharging is the thing. So I bought my car because of the free supercharging.
Right.
I looked for a car with the free supercharging. I did other mistakes, which I was, for some reason, asked for the one with the most power and all the options and all that, which today I know is a mistake. Mm-hmm. You don't need the speed because you can't use it. I use it once or twice. My kids enjoy and laugh. I hope the social services are not going to take them now. And
you know,
then
you know, when I was,
you go out and
was,
you want to puke.
I had to rent a car when I was out in California.
Yeah.
And you heard the story, right? So when I was out in California, I had to rent a car. And I signed up for it a couple months in advance. And I'm like, give me whatever car. I really don't care. And I get there. And my only option was a Tesla, which I did not want.
Okay.
Or like a big pickup truck, like a 150 or a 250 pickup truck.
250?
Yeah, they offered me some big pickup truck. I'm like, I don't want either. So I said, I don't want the Tesla. I want something else. So then the two options became another. So my husband has a
Silverado.
It's the Silverado.
Yeah.
So they offered me the Silverado or Larry's car. I'm like, the two people I'm trying to just take a
avoid,
break from.
Yeah.
your house husband and your work husband, right?
My house husband and my work husband. And I get both. I have the option of the Trail Boss, which is huge and bigger than an F-150. Or I have his car.
And so what'd you get?
I got your car because it's smaller, you know, because I had to drive 3 hours and I didn't want to have to worry
about
charging the
Tesla. I'm very curious. If you are getting a car from Hertz or electric car, let's say a Tesla, do you pay for charging?
Well, I didn't.
Or charging is included?
I purposely said I did not want a Tesla because I knew I was driving to LA from San Diego and it was a 3 hour drive,
yeah, right.
3.5 hour drive.
But if charging is included,
let me finish.
But if she got stuck?
Yeah, if I got
she'd
stuck,
be in trouble.
I wouldn't know where to go. I mean, I'm in an area, I just don't know.
Why would you get stuck?
Because
the battery goes down to zero, you know, in case you didn't know, these cars work on batteries.
Yeah, I do.
And you have to go to certain charging stations. You can't just go to any gas station.
I know.
Which is why I purposely wanted a gas-powered car.
Okay.
But I didn't want a Trail Boss, like the Trail Boss, whatever, the Silverado, because, you know, filling up his tank is like $100. And there, it would have cost me $200 to fill up a tank.
Okay, that's why I'm saying the best way for you to go. I think Hertz has a thing that they include the charging.
Including charging, but you still have to go get it charged.
Yeah, I know, but it's so easy.
Yeah, but I don't want to go get a charge. You're missing the whole point of
but
it.
You
I
do
don't
want
you know
to
what's really easy?
Gas.
You know what's really easy? When you put the gas thing into your car.
Yeah.
And 5 minutes later, you take it out and you got a full tank.
Yeah.
You know what's not easy?
How much it cost you?
Sitting at Wawa for 3 hours waiting for your car to charge.
Okay, so you sit for, let's say, 40 minutes.
Who would want to wait for 40 minutes?
How much it cost you?
It's a 3-hour drive.
How much is 40 minutes of my time worth?
Oh, that's a question.
Yeah, my 40 minutes of my time worth is a lot more than $75.
Okay.
A lot more than $75.
Okay, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. For me right now, if I'm opening my laptop at Wawa, or if I'm opening my laptop at home or in the office, it's almost the same beside I miss you when I'm in Wawa. But honestly, if I don't need to pay for that, this car saved me like $6,000 over less than a year.
What are you talking about? The heat doesn't work.
The heat does work.
He finally fixed it.
The glove box maybe works. I need to check when I go back to the parking. There is a good chance I need to see there was an update. I need to see if Elon allowed me to use
my
glove box.
So do you want to know? The conversation we're having right now is why Tesla stock is down to 175. And it's going to keep dropping. I predict it'll go below 100 by the end of the year. Now, it won't go much lower than that. But I predict it'll go below 100.
So I look at if we talk about volume, I looked at Tesla competitor volume wise. I look at companies like Volvo, for example. And I'm asking myself, why Volvo's stock is in this level and Tesla stock is so much higher? And
because,
you talk about VW.
Because Tesla
makes,
has been ridden, they rode that wave for way too long.
Yeah.
It was a momentum stock and they rode it for way too long. Now, you got Tesla with all kinds of bad news. You got
what's the bad news?
Well, where this new thing, I mean, you know, you had Joe Biden say, by 2035, we're going to have all electric cars being sold. He's out of his freaking mind. Well, we know that anyway.
Being sold, maybe.
No.
I don't know.
How can you have the infrastructure in place to have only electric cars? It's impossible.
No,
and to say, to put it in line to say at 2035, that's ridiculous. So that boosted Tesla for a little while. Now they're all backing out and going, you know what, this probably is not going to work.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time I heard it, I said, the first thing I thought it was Philadelphia, right? Anybody live in Philadelphia with an electric car? Where do you get it charged?
That's the only reason that right now we're still in a point that the only sensible electric car is a Tesla. I have,
sensible.
You know, I have a lot of
things. Yeah, you know why? Because the people in Philadelphia can't afford $120,000 for a Tesla.
So that's one of the things that bother me very much. Now that I fixed my car, okay, and I got a courtesy car, I figure out that you can get a Tesla SUV, the Model Y, for $40,000.
Yeah, I know.
So they dropped the price so massively.
Yeah, exactly.
Which affect, of course, the owners.
Because they know they're getting competition. And they also know that the car is not that great.
Your car
is nice. The back seat is the most uncomfortable back seat I've ever sat in my life.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Larry didn't believe me, and I told you it was terrible.
The most comfortable back seat I've ever sat in my life, right? I will admit, the front seat's very comfortable, no doubt. But the back seat is so...
It's awful.
I'd rather sit in a lawn chair.
Okay.
It'd be more comfortable in the back.
I will remove it, and I will put a lawn chair.
Okay.
Okay. So the thing about Tesla is the network, which is something that people need to understand. I agree with you. The quality of the car is not what you expect. Someone paid for my car when he took it from the dealership, $150,000.
Yes.
That's insane if you look at the car.
The car's terrible.
If I sit in a $150,000 Porsche or Mercedes, it's so much more.
Absolutely. Even a Cadillac.
It's so much more.
Or a Ford or the Lincoln Aviator. Okay. Or Navigator.
Yeah. Well,
there's so much better cars.
Yeah.
Even the Cadillac Lyriq, if you really want to go electric, the Cadillac Lyriq is an awesome-looking car.
So I heard, again, everybody complained about the range of the Lyriq.
Is it?
It's very not close to what they declare.
Yeah, but
so that's always the problem.
But that's the other thing. Tesla's getting also sued for that, too.
I know.
There's a lawsuit currently that they say when the range is, you know, they say the range is 300 and it's not really 300.
And last year, they dropped the range of all the cars.
Yeah,
in amazing. The EPA. I know.
Amazing.
I know. Because they know. Now, the only thing that is working in Tesla, and it's working great, is the network. I don't need to be concerned about range because the network is so awesome. That's the only thing.
When you say network, what do you mean?
I mean that everywhere I go, there's a supercharger.
Right.
That charge my car very fast, and I don't need to worry about that.
All right.
And when you have an electric car that is not a Tesla right now, that's why, by the way, Biden is begging to Elon, I'm saying begging, but it's basically that, to open his network stations, his charging network station for other cars.
Oh, I remember hearing about that.
They've already went to standard of the same Tesla standard.
I know. I heard that too.
Yeah.
Because when I go, so yesterday we met in North Wales, right?
Right.
And I waited for you because you were coming. We just left the sheriff's cell in Doylestown.
Right.
And we stopped in Wawa to drink. And we were in one of the students. I was in one of the students in the car. And she asked me, how much you will gain when because we just bought a drink, we used the bathroom and we're going back to the car, how much you will gain? I said, honestly, I don't know. Let's check when we go back to the car.
Sure.
We go into Wawa. We bought a soda. We use the bathroom. We go out. I gain like 50 miles.
Okay.
It's on the way. I don't need to be concerned about that too much.
You.
And that's the only reason. Quality, I agree with you. There is something they miss there. I used to be a German car driver, and I love German cars.
They're beautiful. They're great to drive.
They know how
the
to build
great,
them.
Yeah.
They just know. The German engineer don't know the term that will do. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So it's so good.
All right.
And that's what bothered us.
Let's go back.
Yeah, exactly. It became a real estate in cars.
No, that's okay.
I
believe that people enjoy our life stories better than they enjoy the real estate portion of this.
Could be.
But anyway, Kimmy is online. She says hi.
We love Kimmy. Kimmy is
Army's number one fan.
Woo-hoo!
And she watches the show every single week just because Army's on it.
Uh-huh.
Now, Kimmy, I want you to know that next week we are back to 2 o'clock.
How are we? Okay.
So we're back to 2 o'clock. So, Kimmy, don't look for Army in the morning. You can sleep a little later. And at 2 o'clock, we'll be back at 2 o'clock next week. And we'll be after Mark's show again, the Good News in Real Estate show.
Can we remind people the number?
Go ahead.
Okay. So please call us. We are a live show. It's 855-939-1137. Again, it's 855-939-1137.
All right.
You know what I think was really interesting? At class on Thursday night, you were saying the number for the radio show, and I gave
the wrong number.
You gave the wrong number.
But you know what's really funny? I've done that before, which I actually remember. I did that before. I actually wrote that number on a Facebook post many months ago as the wrong number, too.
Yeah. But I mean,
yeah, I don't know why.
He's been saying it. I think I remember the number because you say it so much.
I know.
And because of how you say it. Yeah. Because I never paid. I don't even know my school number. Like, I have it on the back of my phone. I don't remember my school number. But I remember the radio show number because of you.
So that's the thing. I just said, Larry, before the show started, that I'm very afraid that that's what they will put on my gravestone.
Oh, yeah.
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 Well, we will make sure that gets done.
Okay. Marketing is everywhere.
Right. call now.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, we need to have a recording of you saying it, too, that we can put by the gravestone, so that way, you know, we push a button and freak everybody out when they walk up to it.
That's terrible. My goodness.
Now, we would miss you too much. Don't die yet.
Yeah, exactly. And if I am going to die in the next week, know who is responsible now. Okay? Just for another billboard.
All right. Anyway, getting back to let's catch up a little bit. What's going on with your property in Wilkes-Barre, Deb?
It's getting done. So
yay. I saw pictures of drywall up.
I got pictures of drywall
up. He called me and said, she's so happy.
He called me
after the meeting. He said, she's so happy. I said, good.
So I get an update from the GC every week. So he came in yesterday. I was trying to have a meeting, but Omri and Larry were screaming at each other. So I'm there trying to have a meeting with the GC. And Omri is so freaking loud that I yell at them to leave because I can't concentrate.
What did GC?
Because he's so loud.
What?
Yeah.
She said GC.
General contractor.
Ah, okay.
What do you, what?
You can't say general contractor. You have to say GC.
Anyway, I was trying to have a meeting with my general contractor.
Okay, good.
While you were in the back screaming about whatever it is that you were screaming, that I actually had to ask you to leave because you're so loud.
Yeah.
And
she got frustrated too. She got mad.
She got
as mad as I get.
She always gets mad.
I don't always get mad, but you are very frustrating sometimes, especially...
You know, only sometimes.
And maybe...
I think sometimes he's not frustrating.
I think that's why I'm so delightful. Can we go back to Wilkes-Barre, please?
I was waiting for you guys to get done, because obviously that's, you know, not where this is going. Anyway, so it's looking really good. He showed me pictures. So while they're in the back, they're screaming. No, actually, during our meeting, he starts showing me pictures of the bathroom, and it's got all the tile up, and he's showing me all the sheetrock, and I'm smiling because I'm like, oh my God, it's finally starting to come together, and it's finally starting to look like some apartments, which is super fabulous. And then Larry's like, stop, because I want to see what's going on. And then the two of them start screaming, and I kick them out. And then we start having our meeting, and everything is coming together. So we were held up by like 2 or 3 weeks because the inspectors there are
sprinklers, and then
there's problems with the sprinklers, and you know, there's just been problem after problem after problem, and then we're still trying to get the water there, but that's a whole other issue. But it's starting to really come together.
Amazing.
And he said paint starts next week. Mm-hmm. And then if all the sheetrock isn't up now, it should be up, I think, Monday or Tuesday. All the sheetrock should be up. So he has like 10 guys there a day, like putting all the sheetrock up.
So here's an interesting question. If there's no water...
No, let me finish. No,
what? If there's no water in the building...
No, the water has... So remember that there's two lines that have to go in. That's what the issue is. So all the sprinkler lines have been checked. All the plumbing's been checked. All of that's been checked.
Okay.
All of that's been checked.
Because it's a 4-unit, she need to have a 2-inch going into the building.
Okay, I got it. Yeah. So, but there is water going into the building now.
Yeah.
It's just not sufficient.
Yeah.
Okay,
right,
I got
because it needs a separate line for the sprinkler system.
Got
and
it.
Then the regular plumbing needs its own special okay. line because it has to have a higher pressure, blah, blah, yes. blah, blah, blah. That's what we're talking about.
All right, I just want to make sure it was checked before you started closing up the walls.
No, all that's been checked.
That would have been a nightmare.
No, it's all been checked. All the inspections were done. Okay. Everything passed. All that's been done. Yeah, so that's done.
Now, they can do it another way. By the way, they can do it without water. They can do it with air. Pressure test with air.
Yeah.
Yeah, but knowing
but if you
this,
did it with water, it's fine.
Yeah, but knowing this township is so whatever, it's just easier to make sure everything's done the right way.
Oh, yeah, no. Pressure checking with air is legal.
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
It's just I don't want to make sure that they did check it.
They check gas lines.
Yeah, they checked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything's good
okay,
to go.
Great.
Actually, yeah.
So what do you expect? How much more? 2 months?
No, he said by the end of this month he thinks it'll be done.
Wow.
Yeah, so next
I'm going to give it I'm just because I always overestimate.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And the next month.
I hope not.
No, I understand, but you could start advertising it probably the end of this month.
So yeah, when we go up at the end of the month, I'm going to take pictures and I'm going to start advertising
exactly.
to the people in there. But he's supposed to start painting next week. He's supposed to So what is it? He's got to paint the primer and the first coat of paint.
Yeah,
it should be going up next week.
PVA, exactly, and all that.
Yeah.
But I will give you a tip that I'm doing for a long time and works very good for me. I take pictures as I'm very close to the end. I take pictures of the worker at the job site. I make a picture of the room with the painter holding the roller and painting the wall. And I'm putting those pictures on Facebook Marketplace and Zillow. And then I'm putting in the ad, come and see us cleaning and painting for you.
That's interesting.
And people...
I don't know if that's... Does it work?
It works very good.
Really? That's just such an odd thing to do.
Everybody wants to move into a new construction. Everybody wants new. Everybody wants new.
Yeah,
nobody wants clean. When they know it's new, when they see the workers in the pictures... They are very happy.
Okay.
And you always have the same question as the people call. When is it going to be ready? And I said, it's ready now. Come.
That's great. That's actually a bad idea. I'd like to see. Try it. Let me know what you got, too. Okay.
Yeah, I'll have to ask him to send me some pictures. And
so we got. That's a great update on that. Let's get an update quick on the mobile home park.
Ooh, we have 3 more units to rent.
Okay.
3 more.
We are now positive cash flow.
We do.
Within 45 days, right?
Yes, we are. We are.
So we're positive cash flow within 45 days of buying it.
Uh-huh.
And now we're killing it. Now we're starting to make some good money on it.
We do. The management, as we believed, is still not where we want it to be.
Okay.
But it will be.
Right.
And we still have 3 more units to bring in.
That's fantastic. Yeah, we have 3 more units to bring in. Right. So we're
going to
go to Florida. We're going
to
go to Florida and we're going to go buy 3 more mobile homes.
Mm-hmm, correct.
And work on that as well. Excellent. Mm-hmm.
And I really hope, we'll see, I have a call later on today with a tenant that is also a GC and he wants to rent one of the units.
Fantastic.
So maybe he will rent one of the units and he will also do renovations for
okay,
us.
Okay, so just make sure one thing.
We are doing it separate.
Right,
we
exactly.
We always make it separate.
Right.
That's the thing we had also with the property manager that used to live there before. He's paying rent every month, and the same amount that he pays in rent
right.
go back
right,
to
right.
him every
right.
month.
Right.
It has to be always two right. separate transactions.
Right, so exactly. So if you ever do this, and just for a word of advice for anybody out there who ever rents properties, you're going to rent it to a property who's a handyman or a general contractor, And sure enough, there's going to be a problem. I don't know, whatever. There's going to be a leak, whatever. Oh, mm-hmm. I'll fix it for you. Take $150 off my rent. Do not do that. Ever. Do not ever do that. No. Pay the full rent and give me a bill for $150 and pay that bill separately.
Correct.
Because you are going to run into so many problems, especially when you go to eviction court for any reason. Oh, no, I was fixing stuff. And I fixed this and
we
I fixed this.
We had an agreement, right? He would
yeah.
say to the judge, we had an agreement.
Yeah, exactly. You don't ever, ever, ever do that. That's a major problem. All right, so let's
call us.
Yeah, 855-939-1137. Call us about anything. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk a little bit about lending money and borrowing money.
Yes.
All right, so the more and more I look at this, the more and more I realize that the best way for people to make money on their money is to either buy real estate properly
mm-hmm.
and collect rent or lend money to real estate investors. And lending money to real estate investors is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had people come into the school and they didn't even know this existed. They didn't even know that you could lend money to real estate investors. Now, what is the number one thing that real estate investors, I mean, that people lending money to a real estate investor have to worry about? Number one thing.
Not getting paid.
Not getting paid, right, exactly. So if you structure a deal that's so good, and I do this all the time, if you structure a deal that's so good that if the person doesn't get paid, they get the property, and the property is worth a lot more than the money you lent them.
Of course.
Then the person's only ahead. Mm-hmm. So most likely, the real estate investor is never gonna default. But interestingly enough, you know, I was listening to some show, and they were talking about something called the 4% rule in an annuity, and I thought this was ridiculous. Right? Somebody said take 4% of your money out of your bank every year. So if you have $1 million in the bank, for example, and you take out $40,000 a year, that's what they want you to live on to make sure that you can continue to live and make sure you have money. Well, if you're lending money to a real estate investor at 7 or 8%, let's say 8%, you're now taking $80,000 a year at $1 million, and you still have the full principal.
I'm confused. When you say you take out 4%, yeah, you do what too. With it?
Well, to live off of. So let's say you're in retirement ages and you want to start living off your savings.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's something called a 4% rule, which is, again, ridiculous. It basically says if you take out 4% of your money every year, you'll have enough money to make it through your retirement. Well, that's not necessarily true either because you may live longer.
Exactly.
But at the same time, who wants to live? If you have $1 million, you want to live on $40,000?
Why?
If you have $1 million, I could take that same $1 million, you could live off of $80,000 a year. And on top of that, you could still have $1 million at the end by lending somebody interest only. You lend $1 million out interest only. And if you want to, you don't have to lend it to one investor. You can lend $100,000 to 10 investors, get the 8%, and be ahead.
So I have a question about annuities. Because sure. we don't like this product.
That's a terrible product.
Exactly. And we are not advisors, so we are allowed to say. So what's the average percentage people will get in annuities?
Negative. The average percentage is negative. So I don't have the, and it's funny because I went to do this on Thursday.
Yeah.
And I lost, I can't believe I lost this presentation. It was so upsetting to me. But I actually showed how like the first year, if you put $100,000 in an annuity, you know how much money you have the first year?
The same amount.
No.
No, less than what you started with.
$92,000. So you give the annuity company $100,000, and in the first year you have $92,000. Now, if you lent that same money to a real estate investor, you lent $100,000 to a real estate investor at 8%, you have how much? $108,000. So we're already $18,000 higher. I'm sorry, $16,000 higher than you would with an annuity.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
So annuity is always negative? After how
it
much
time? It takes a while. It takes about 6 or 7 years for it to catch up, and then it starts making money on your money. But why would you want to do that?
Exactly, I don't get it.
Yeah, why would you want to do that if you're losing money for 5 or 6 or 7 years, and then all of a sudden you start making money?
So the 5 or 6 or 7 years, if for God's sake something happened to you, and you need this money, can you take it out?
Yes, you can, but you're taking it out at that loss.
Exactly, at that loss.
So after the first year, you need to take that $100,000 out. You only get $92,000.
That's insane.
It is.
I just want to preface this for everybody who's listening. That you don't just give money away to a real estate investor without the proper paperwork.
Of course.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, because we're not talking about that.
Yeah,
we need to talk about that.
Of course.
You can't just say, hey, I need $100,000 and you write me a check for $100,000.
We can talk about the deal that I brought in front of you just before you left.
Right.
That the only reason I'm willing to lend the money on this deal is because I really hoped that, because I was the only lender, I was really hoped I would just get the properties in a few months.
Well, that's predatory, by the way.
I'm not sure.
I call that predatory lending.
You always say the best place to put your money is with a bad real estate investor.
Not a bad, an amateur.
Amateur, I'm sorry. With an amateur real estate
not
investor.
Not bad, it's two different things.
I know, with an amateur real estate investor.
Right, and the reason is the amateur real estate investor, if he messes it up, you get the property. But as long as there's got to be a lot of equity in it for me to do that.
Exactly.
You know, as long as there's a lot of equity, I'm fine. All right, so we got a couple of people on the phone. We got Ice Cream Gary. Let's talk to Ice Cream Gary because we haven't spoken to Ice Cream Gary in a while. What's going on? What's going on, Gary?
Mr. Steinhaus, how you doing, buddy?
How are you, my friend? tell me what's going on.
I want to tell you that Dr. Deb, they filled in for you fantastically while you were on the cruise.
She's great. Now, what do you think? What do you think of the immigrant, though?
Can't we just focus on me and all the great things about me?
Yes, ma'am. Listen, Mr. Steinhaus, the immigrant has potential.
It's more than my mom says. Thank you.
So he's actually in this country legally, Gary. So, you know, we could be okay with him, right?
Well, we could kid, and that's what life's all about. We got to learn
again,
how to live.
Immigrant is legal.
That's what I said. Well, immigrant can be legal or illegal. It's just happen to be
a
legal
question.
Immigrant.
You're not letting him
go ahead,
ask
Gary,
question.
I'm sorry. Come go ahead, on. Gary. We're interrupting you again.
See, I'm on your side, Gary.
Just as long as he's not MS-13, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, now here's the deal. Springtime is coming up shortly. What's the deal with ice cream? You going to open up this year?
So, yeah, we opened up March 1st, and we opened up to a pretty good opening. And, you know, I'm debating whether I want to close during the winter or not, because it was kind of one of those things where, you know, we wouldn't have made a lot of money in the winter, but it cost me $3,000 a month to keep the place open. I mean, to keep the place closed. So it might be better to keep it open.
One year I tried it staying open. It wasn't cost effective. You know what I'm saying? But everybody's location is different.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what to do. I maybe even put a hot dog, like a hot dog roller in there, and maybe sell hot dogs or something.
Yeah, you can do that.
I'm kind of concerned.
Depends on your demographics. Do they like that? The fast food, the hot dog, the pizza. You know what I'm saying? The tacos.
Yeah. So the nice thing about it was, like, because I own the building, I stopped taking rent. So I basically told myself that I won't that I'll forgive my rent, but. But if it wasn't for that, it would have cost me a really lot of money to keep this thing closed, because the rent alone is $1,500 a month.
So, Gary, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
So, I have two kids, and the problem I have, because kids, believe it or not, they like ice cream also when it's cold outside.
Yeah.
And there is no place to go. Around here, around the Langhorne Newtown area, there is one place that opened in the winter on 413 on Durham, the farm.
Yeah.
Exactly. Rita's is closed. The one next to Wells Fargo in Newtown is closed, right? There's another one.
Right. They're all closed.
All of them are closed.
Right.
So the only place that is open is always full.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. If you don't have anything open next to you in the winter, why won't you open?
Right. The only problem, though, there's only one little problem with that. And the problem is real simple. The problem is that because I don't have indoor seating, it's harder to open. Because now somebody's got to come in with their heavy jacket on, buy their ice cream, you know, and walk out with their ice cream, and it's freezing to go outside. That's the only problem.
Have you seen the lines in front of Rita's?
Yeah, but not during the winter, though. They close during the winter.
They do, but on March 1st, the lines...
Well, you know why March 1st, though?
Yeah.
March 1st. Rita's opens and they always give away a free ice cream cone.
They give away a free, small. Yeah.
So for you guys who listen to the show for the first time, just so you know, just to catch you guys up, I own an ice cream store that actually, and it's interestingly enough, because we do this a lot, we partner with our students in a lot of deals, and I had an ice cream store that I wanted to open, and I asked any of the students if they wanted to become my partner, and Goran, who was a student, he decided he wanted to become a partner, and he's been great. He's been fantastic. I gave him half the company. I gave him a salary. And now he runs the company, and he owns half the company, which is pretty neat.
That's great.
So if you're ever in Easton, Pennsylvania, you go to the Ice Cream Corner, and you can even go to the icecreamcorner.com if you want to look it up.
And download the app?
Hey, well, we don't have the app anymore.
Okay.
It was too expensive, and nobody used it.
Okay.
It was a silly move. What?
Good.
What'd you say, Gary?
I'm saying, you did a very good job.
On what?
On orchestrating the student.
Yeah. Thank you, man. I really appreciate that.
Very, very intelligent. All right.
I got a couple other calls, Gary. Anything else going on?
That's it, Larry. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, buddy. When are you going to come in and actually meet me? You've been a fan of this show for 6 years. And we've been talking forever. You even have my personal cell phone number, and you still don't come into the school.
Larry, don't take it personal, please.
Maybe it's because of me.
Don't take it. No. Don't take it personal. It's nothing personal.
Come this Thursday. Meet us.
I just want to meet you and shake your hand. Let's go. All right, man.
Okay.
Let me move on.
Bye-bye.
All right. We got Joel online. What's going on, Joel? Hey, Joel, you there?
Larry, how you doing? Yeah, can you
What's
hear me?
I know exactly who this Joel is. This is Joel Kraut of Burr Loans. We did it.
Ooh.
Right?
Finally.
So tell me, you want to talk about lending, huh?
Well, yes and no.
You just wanted a free plug. I know you.
No. Actually, no. The opposite. I want to call in and talk about Ace Morby because... Yeah, I'm not.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to talk about him right now. We'll talk about that in private or in class. I just want
to talk
about
it. Dear to lending.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have groups like his out there, and the groups out of Texas, Ren, etc., teaching all of their young people about Gator and gap funding.
Yep.
And not understanding, as you and Dr. Deb were just talking about, all the paperwork.
Yep.
That are clueless as to how to put that deal together.
Oh, yeah.
They have no intercreditor agreement. They don't even understand what first versus second really means. And they just think because once or twice they've collected a large fee that it's easy. I think it's setting it up for a very big problem out there.
Yeah, so let me tell everybody listening what Joel's talking about. So let's say there's a couple of different ways that this works. But let's say Omri's buying a house from Deb. And Omri's going to go find some financing somewhere, and he needs $30,000, let's say earnest money deposit, because Dr. Deb says, hey, I'm not going to put my house under contract unless you give me $30,000 up front that proves that you have money. And Omri doesn't have the money. So he goes to what's called a Gator lender, which, and the people who came up with this, I want to scream. They're terrible. So he goes to what's called a Gator lender, and the Gator lender says, yeah, I'll happily lend you $30,000, and I'll charge you $5,000 or $6,000 for the month and a half that you need that money for you to close. Well, the problem is, if Omri doesn't close, that Gator lender doesn't get his money back. And there's no collateral, there's no enforcement of that, there's just a loan. Oh, sorry, I didn't close. Oh, well, where's my $30,000? You can't have it. Dr. Deb kept it. Because that's what the contract said.
So what's the intention here? To wholesale or to buy it and hold it from her?
So you were going to buy it, but let's say you couldn't get the funds.
Yeah.
Or let's say you decided not to buy it or whatever the situation is.
So we're finding another buyer?
You might be able to, but the guy who lent you that $30,000 is now out $30,000 because according to the contract, Dr. Deb either gets the money or can hold that money up for years. And it's a terrible idea. So what Dr. Deb was talking about before is you're always going to lend money with collateral. So I did this recently, if you guys remember. I lent a friend of mine $180,000because he needed $180,000 to close on a deal. And the deal that he was closing on, he needed $180,000 to close. It was actually buying a 34-unit apartment building. And he needed this $180,000 that was supposed to come from a deal that he was closing. He was supposed to close it 2 weeks before, and that deal got delayed. So the sell of this building that he was trying to sell that he was going to get the $180,000 from got delayed. But the guy who was selling him the 34-unit apartment building would not delay the closing.
Yeah.
So he needed $180,000. So I said, fine, I'll lend it to you. Now, this is a good friend of mine. But the paperwork that I sent him, now, the guy's also, he's a real estate mentor, and he's a big-time investor. And he sent me over his paperwork, and I laughed at him. I said, no. You're going to sign my paperwork. And when I sent him over my paperwork, he called me up the next day. He goes, dude, I want your, this is worth whatever you're charging me just to have this paperwork.
Yeah.
Because my paperwork was pretty specific. It said that a mortgage would be recorded against the property if in 3 weeks I didn't get my money back, because he promised me in two.
Okay.
So if in 3 weeks I didn't get my money back, a mortgage would get recorded against the property, and the interest rate goes to 18%.
Ah, you didn't record the mortgage.
I didn't record it immediately.
Okay.
Because here's why. The first lender, the bank, wouldn't let us record the mortgage.
I understand.
And that's okay with me, because we could record it the next day.
Yes.
Right? But I basically said, no, this will not be, and I actually said in the paperwork that the mortgage will not be recorded for 3 weeks. And unless I call up and say, unless I, in writing, say that not to record it, the loan's been satisfied.
Okay.
Then the interest rate also went to 18%, and the payment was stated right in here.
Okay.
And it was a 2-year loan at 18% for with the payment, whatever the payment was, if he did not pay me back.
Okay.
So when he saw that, he was like, I've never seen paperwork like this. I go, that's the kind of paperwork that we teach our students mm-hmm. to use. And he was blown away by it. So Joe, go ahead. Go ahead. Give your plug. And next time you're paying me $1,000 a month for this.
No, this has nothing to do with our company. This is unfortunately upsetting to me, to people like you,
yeah.
what we're seeing out there. Because as Larry's describing and Dr. Deb and Omri talked about and touched on, when these go non-recorded and the person, the borrower, goes to the third person to ask for money and the third person has no idea there's a second person
yep.
and the first has no idea there's a second and third person, you're going to yep. end up but with a lot of unhappy recorded. Widows and orphans.
Absolutely.
And this is
Absolutely.
Really going to become a problem with an AG in some state somewhere. And it's
yeah,
going to trace
the teachers,
back to one of these big lending right. mentorships. Because they're not
I think the people who are teaching this,
correct.
I think the people who are teaching this are going to be in a lot of trouble one day. And they're going to be investigated.
So do I.
For fraud and for perpetrating this. The problem is they're going to hurt the rest of us. Because the people who are doing
yep.
it correctly and doing it properly and protect. It's like when I borrow money from a seller. When I borrow money to buy a property, if I borrow money to buy a property, my instinct is to protect that person's money more than it would be if it was mine. So I want to make sure that that person is so protected. So every little piece of information that I have, I give them. So if it's a second, I tell them why it's a second. I tell them, you know, how much equity is still in the property. No matter what the situation is, they know it. And then there's paperwork. And the paperwork
Absolutely.
Is done, and it is closed at a title company. It does not. So you do not hand somebody a check and say, here's money to buy a piece of real estate. You do never do that. You close to a title company. The title company gets the money. The documents say that the title company now gives you the money at the closing, and that mortgage gets recorded. It's the only way you're going to be able to protect people.
So can I ask a question regarding the example you gave? I'm buying a house from Deb, and I'm lending 30 grand.
No,
right?
So you borrowed 30 grand.
I'm sorry, I'm borrowing 30 grand in order to buy the house from Deb.
Right.
Deb is not obligated in any way to the lender.
No, she's not obligated to anything. If you don't close...
No, because she didn't sign anything with anyone,
right.
and it's not recorded
That's
anyway.
Right. Exactly.
So the lender can come after Deb.
No, only you. No.
Exactly.
And if your credit's terrible, or who cares?
So what's the collateral here?
There's no collateral.
At all?
No.
No.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's why they're teaching these methods, and they're terrible. I mean, we teach ethics, we teach morals, and we teach legality. It is absolutely legal for them to do that situation. That's a
Steal.
Legal transaction.
Yeah.
But it's totally unethical, it's totally immoral, and it's extremely dangerous. All right.
Wow.
Joel, I appreciate you as always, man. I will talk to you
legal.
Soon. Yeah.
You know, okay. Have a good day, guys. Bye.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. Real quick, I got
Mike.
Let's get Mike from Mike. What's going on, Mike?
Hey. Thanks for taking my call.
Awesome, man.
My wife and I are approaching 80 years old, and we live in a townhouse called Windy Bush. And
sure, I know exactly
where
it is.
Yeah, our health's getting a little bit poor, and our daughter. Has said we can move in with her. So
your daughter said you can move in her, okay.
Yeah, so we're going to do some additions and some upgrades and all that kind of a thing. And I've already taken out about $40,000 from my IRA, which I wouldn't normally do because I've already taken this year's required distribution.
The R&D. Sure, right.
Yeah, so that's going to raise that. So we see that we're probably going to need like another $45,000 to finish the project. So
for
I guess
her
my
house.
Question is, yeah, on her house. I have a house that's worth like $420,000, and I have a $167,000 mortgage left. So
you're going to be selling that house, right?
We're going to sell the house. You know, once the project's totally done over there, then, you know, because there's no rush to do it the same day right. or anything.
Sure.
So my question is, what's the best way to borrow that next $45,000? Because, like we were talking, if I then take out more money from my IRA, I mean, that's going to raise my taxes or it's going to cost me more in taxes. I don't even understand that stuff. So somebody told me to call you, and here I am.
Well, that's awesome. I'm actually excited to find out who told you to call me. I just left my chair just broke.
What was that?
All right, getting back to that. So there's a lot of other things you need to do. First of all, you need to know how much money you have in your IRA. You may not want to say that over the air. So that's part of it. But if you're selling your house, when do you want to sell your house? Because I got a really good idea for you.
Okay, so, so they're saying that the project will be done in like 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay, so, you want to sell your house,
let's say
right.
the May. I can put it up for sale in May.
So where's your house, in Langhorne?
Yeah, it's called Windy Bush. It's a townhomes that back up to the Langhorne golf course, and it's a one-way street that goes all the way around. Okay.
All right, so here's one thing you can do. So you obviously don't need another mortgage anymore because you're going to live with your daughter. So one thing you could do is you could have a buyer buy that house, take over the mortgage, and make you payments. So maybe you need the $40,000 to finish the project. They make you an initial payment of $40,000, and then after that, they make you payments every month on the difference of the loan that you owe and the loan that's on the house, and now you have an income. And that might even be a much better play than you getting, a lump sum of whatever, $200,000, $230,000. You'd have a much better play by getting that. So you can get some money every month, and that way you can live off that money. You can literally live off that money for the rest of your life because, the odds are, if you live to 100, or you're still going to get payments up until the last day. And if you did not, and if you didn't make that far, then those payments would go to your heirs. So that's actually a really great way. That's like it's better than an annuity because now you annuitize the house that you sold, and you sold that to an investor or somebody wants to live there. Actually, I think Army wants to live there. Army wants to live in Langhorne. Maybe Army will buy it from you.
I will.
And if that's something you want to do, what you could do is leave Natasha your phone number, and we'll give you a call privately. But that's a way to go if you want to do that, because it to me, selling your house for a lump sum check. Then if you annuitize that lump sum check, you're going to make a lot less money than you would if you got payments every month from somebody buying that house from you.
And the period you need the money for, you talk about in 6 weeks. So in 6 weeks, you will sell your house. So you need you can for sure sell your house today and make the closing or the moving the move out date in 6 weeks.
Right. So in other words, what he could do
in 2 months.
What he could do is he could say he let's say Army buys it, because he probably is interested in it because he's looking in that area. But let's say he buys it, he could actually give you the money like in 2 weeks because you just need a title search. He gives you the money in 2 weeks. He closes on the house and he lets you stay there for a month or two or three or whatever time you need to do what you need to do. So now there's no rush for you to move. You have no gun against your head, and it turns out really easy. So that could be a move. But I want to be really careful, and say that we don't, this is just a conversation that came up. It's not, we're not soliciting to buy your house, although we may.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm not sure if we crossed any lines here. So that's why I just want to be careful, where this just went. But at the same time, leave your number for Natasha. And we'll give you a call off the air, and we'll talk about to see how we can help you. Because I'll tell you what, that's something I convince older people to do often, is to sell the house to a real estate investor and get monthly payments instead of getting a lump sum check. Because what are you going to do with a lump sum check? You're going to annuitize it anyway. Or you're going to leave it to your kids. And either way, you get the same thing by doing this, and there's no pressure.
Wow.
Get it?
Yeah.
See that? Aren't you glad you called?
That...
All right, Mike. Yeah. We're gonna put you on hold, and Natasha's gonna take your number, and we'll give you a call. We'll give you a call right after the show, actually.
Yes, we
do. All right, Mike. Thanks so much. All right, that was kind of interesting, wasn't it?
It is.
I love it. I love real estate. It's amazing to me when you think about how people really get rich.
It's trouble my mind how many people in 21, okay, were so rushed into selling their properties, real estate investors, because the market was so high. So
right.
They got this bunch of money right now.
Right, and you don't have to do it.
And what are they doing?
Exactly.
Where is this money right now? Yeah. I have no idea.
Well, if they
idea.
Bought NVIDIA stock, they cleaned up.
Okay, good.
But they probably didn't, or they bought maybe a little bit of it, whatever the situation is.
Whatever they did, the point is, if you bought a house as a real estate investment, in 2018, okay, and it tripled his price, maybe more,
right?
Right, and you sold it in 21 or 22, and you have this a lot of money right now in your pocket. This a lot of money right now can't bring you the same amount you would have got if you would have kept this house.
Of course. Of course. That's what I tell people all the time. That's why the inventory is so low right now, because my house, like I live in a house right now, my house is worth, I don't know, maybe it's worth $650, right?
Yes.
And my payment on my house is, well, first of all, my loans, I have two more payments left. It's over. But my payment is $2,200 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Where could I buy a house that's worth $650,000?
You can't.
For $2,200 a month.
I know.
Right? So what? Why would I want to sell my house? The only thing I could do is sell my house. And if I sold my house, I'm going to move up into a bigger house, maybe $1.5 million house, right? And if I do that, it's kind of silly because if I do that, then I can't afford the new house. By the way, Mike, I don't know if you hung up or whatever, but if you want to, Mike, you could call back on the number you called, 855-939-1137, and after the show, it goes directly to my cell phone anyway, so we could talk to you then. 855-939-1137. Write that down, number down, Mike, if you, because I think you got disconnected. All right. Anyway, no big deal. What else?
Crazy.
So we really didn't. It's we only got like 9 minutes left, and we didn't even advertise Investor Schooling yet.
No, we actually even I think stopped the intro.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
That's because this show's always too short. All right. So real quick. So if you guys want to come to Investor Schooling, go to investorschooling.com, and you could learn some of these techniques. And we're going to teach you stuff about money that you never knew. I mean, it blows my mind how simple it is to do some of these techniques once you learn them and once you understand them. You know, Mike was talking about how he had to take RMDs from his IRA,
yeah,
and we teach people buy real estate or lend money out of your IRA to a real estate investor and get payments every month, and that covers your RMDs. Now, the interesting part is the government wants you to make your IRA go down every year. Now, your IRA actually goes up every year, and you're taking your RMDs. So you actually get all the money you're supposed to get. You live off that money, and the IRS doesn't get their money, the IRS doesn't take the money away from your kids.
So
I love it.
If your IRA is invested into a rental property, mm-hmm. you can get the RMD and the...
No, what RMD is required minimum distribution.
Exactly,
which basically says the IRS says, okay, you've had enough. You have to start taking money out of your IRA now.
Mm-hmm.
We force you. At 73, they force you to take it out. So whatever, and it's a calculation based on the actuary tables. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But I know the calculation. I just don't know off the top of my head. So let's say you have to take $1,000 a month RMD. Or let's say you have to take $12,000. Let's say whatever. You have 100 grand and you have to take $12,000 a year out of your RMD. And those numbers aren't accurate. I'm just making them up.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take $12,000. So let's say you buy a property for $100,000. You rent it for $1,200 a month. And you get $1,200 a month into your IRA, and you take that $1,200 right out. Now your property value actually goes up every year.
Your IRA.
So your $100,000 is actually going up every year, and you're still getting your $12,000 every year. And you're doing exactly what the government wants you to do, but at the same time, you're not your IRA is going up instead of going down.
I have a weird question.
Sure.
What happened to the property that is being held by the IRA when you die?
It goes to your heirs. And it stays in the IRA. And they have up to 10 years to take it out.
Really?
Yeah. And they can still get they still have to do the RMDs, but they have the same tax advantages in that IRA.
Because it's still on the IRA.
Still in the IRA, yep.
And do you have inheritance tax here?
Not on that one.
Ah.
Not on that one. But you can have capital gains tax when you sell it, though.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's okay. It's still, I'm telling you, it's an amazing deal. You keep that property in that IRA. You pass that IRA on to your kids, and the kids have the property. And they're getting the same thing. They're getting the same income off the property.
I didn't know that. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. A lot of people make mistakes when they inherit an IRA from a parent. They make a mistake and cash it. Don't cash it. That IRA is still active for another 10 years. And you could still have the tax deferredness of your parents' IRA that you don't have, and then you have to, and you can take RMDs, which is fine. But then after 10 years, you have to shut it down. But it's a great place, especially if it's a Roth IRA. You get the tax advantages of a Roth IRA too, so you don't even pay taxes. You will pay capital gains, but you're not going to pay taxes on the money. So it's a great play.
On the gain.
On the gain only. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's a great way to make money. and a great way to keep your kids, to leave your kids a legacy that's an amazing legacy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Not a problem.
Yeah, so if you want to go to investorschooling.com, sign up for class on Thursday. We're going to teach you this. We're going to teach you the stock market. We're going to teach you things about money that you... I'm telling you, what did we talk about on Thursday? That was really cool.
We talked about everything, actually.
I know, we had a kind of an ad hoc day.
Yeah, so we did some stuff on cover calls.
I like ad hoc days.
And marketing and how to get... Yeah. People that will call you and ask you to come and buy the houses from them.
Yeah, and naming for companies, like how to name your company.
Exactly. So here's another thing, right? So you just mentioned covered calls. So how would you like, and you know, I can't guarantee this, obviously, but first of all, it doesn't matter if I guarantee it or not, because I'm just teaching you education. But there's a way out there that you could buy stock and you could make maybe an average of 1.5 to 2% every 3 weeks on that stock that you could put in your pocket. So you can actually take that money, put it in your pocket every 2 to 3 weeks by owning a stock, and you can continue to own the stock, or maybe the stock gets bought. But at the same time, the stock goes up, you get dividends, and you get a little bit of extra money every couple of weeks. That's called covered calls, selling covered calls. And it's such a great way to make money, and it's very, very safe. It's not like, you know, it's not like a risky stock market thing. In fact, the only thing that has to be thought out properly is the stock you do it with. And right now, AT&T is my favorite covered call stock. You buy AT&T, it's averaging about 17, and you'll get about 1.5 to 2% every 3 weeks on that stock. And the stock will also give you dividends, and you're going to make money on it over and over again.
That's over 25% a year.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's just extra money.
I know.
So if anybody actually has stock that they're just sitting on and they don't know about covered calls, you can make extra money on your stock that you didn't even know. It's funny. A lot of people call it renting stock, which is kind of like equivalent to renting a house.
It's reflective how we teach it.
Right. So you take $100,000 and you can collect, you know, whatever, $10,000, $15,000 a year just selling covered calls on your stock that's still going up, that still gives you dividends. And you can continue to do this week after week after week.
Yeah.
It's an amazing way to make money. It's one of my favorite safe things that I teach. Because a lot of people come to us. We have people come to us for all ages. They'll come to us, they're 30. They want to get really aggressive. They'll come to us, they're 40 and 50 and 60, and they want to catch up. Then you got people like Mike, who called a little while ago, who's 80, and they don't want to be aggressive anymore. They're like, hey, you know what? I just want to relax. I don't even know if I can relax when I turn 80. You think I'll be able to relax when I turn 80?
I don't think you're ever going to retire.
Retire is not the same thing as relaxing, right? Retirement and relaxing are two different things. I know a lot of people in retirement, they're out of their mind, because I know I did it for 3 months. I couldn't stand it. And that's why I opened Investor Schooling, because I was bored out of my mind. You know, now I'm like, please, I just want to take some time off. I took 12 days off. I went on that cruise. I had a great time.
Okay.
And you guys did a great show, a great, great radio show, I heard. Mm-hmm. You know, even though I had to call in and bring you back in.
We counted the minutes until you were calling.
Did you really? That's pretty funny. Yeah. All right, Mike, real quick. So Mike, who called a little while ago, in case you didn't get the message, give me a call back, 855-939-1137, and we'll talk to you privately more about some things you can do. 855-939-1137, we can talk about that. That'll actually go to my cell phone after the show. And... what else we got? We got like about a minute and a half.
Mm-hmm. So tell people how they can come and meet us.
Yeah, you can come and meet us. If you want to hear Armory's sexy voice in person, you can come this Thursday night. Go to investorschooling.com. We have a class every Thursday night. And it's funny, we have a lot of people. You know, people, they want to join the class. They just want to come in and learn something. And look, the class is free. You learn. I guarantee you're going to learn something. And the cool part is, you know, you'll get to meet us, shake our hands, and that's fine. And if you never want to come back again, I don't care. Just come and learn. Tell people what a great time you had. That's all we care about.
And it's always fun.
It's always fun.
We have a sultan that is coming every week.
We have the stock options sultan who comes out every week and makes stock predictions. And the stock options sultan is always right, but just not always right on time. And the joke there is because stock options are timed, you have to have them timed. So you have to make money in a certain amount of time. So the stock option consultant comes out and says, this stock's going to go up, this stock's going to go down. Like Tesla, I predict Tesla will be under 100. It'll be close to 100 in about a year. but we'll see if my timing is right. It may take a little bit longer. Anyway, I just want to thank everybody for listening. You guys are awesome. You can go to investorschooling.com, and you can take a class this Thursday. Of course, I want to thank Natasha, who did a great job today. Thanks, Natasha. Thanks. Say thanks, Natasha.
Natasha, thank you.
Say thanks, Natasha.
Thank you, Natasha.
Right now, she's blushing and turning red because we're identifying her so well, and she did a great job. But anyway, go to investorschooling.com. We'll see you guys on Thursday night. Thank you so much.
This program is paid for by Investors Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investors Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
WPHT, WPHT, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
This program is paid for by Retirement Media Incorporated. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Retirement Media or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.